morning. Welcome to Sunday School, 10th of May, 2020. Lord willing, our last Sunday of the lockdown. We have been teaching through the doctrines of salvation. And so far, we've had a look at repentance and faith, the grace of God, regeneration, adoption, substitution, redemption, and then last week, Old Testament atonement, New Testament reconciliation and propitiation. Today, we look at the doctrine of imputation. Beautiful doctrine. One of the great things that God does for us the day we get saved. So this is the ninth in our series on the doctrines of salvation. So before we pray, I just want to lay a couple of verses for some groundwork, and that is that God is righteous, and that's really the heart of this whole doctrine, this whole teaching, is the righteousness of our Creator. And so go to Psalm 119, verse 142, if you would. And I just wanted to establish, which we did when we went through the moral attributes of God, that God is righteous. And again, that's the heart of this doctrine. But in Psalm 119, verse 142, the Bible says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness." So God's righteousness is everlasting. He's always been righteous and always will be righteous. And then if you go to Isaiah 51 and verse 8, again, we will see that our Creator, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, is righteous. Isaiah 51:8, "For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever." So again, establishing that our God, our Creator, is righteous. His righteousness is eternal, everlasting. And this is what demands the imputation in our salvation. So go to Romans 1, one more verse, and we'll pray and get started. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, talking about the righteousness of God. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." So God says that in the gospel that we're not to be ashamed of, that we preach, it reveals the righteousness of God. Again, why when we preach the gospel to the lost, we start with sin and then we move to God's righteousness. But our God is righteous. And we will understand why that requires imputed righteousness for us to be worthy of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom as we study this together, as we understand the imputed righteousness that we receive at salvation. May it bless our hearts, Lord. And as we'll see, may we declare it to this world that you are a righteous God, as you command us to. So bless our hearts, teach and grow us. May we appreciate what we have in Christ, Lord. Anyone not saved, may they realize they must have imputed righteousness to be worthy of heaven. So have your will and way. Now use your word and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the flip side of this truth is that man is unrighteous. And that is a key for understanding imputation. So go to Isaiah, if you would, 64. Very familiar passage. Isaiah 64, verse 6. The Bible teaches here that we don't have any righteousness to offer unto the Lord. And yet, fascinatingly enough, most religions in the world today teach that man can somehow earn heaven or earn salvation or earn a kingdom or whatever. And yet, that's impossible because man is unrighteous. Hence the demand for imputation. Notice Isaiah 64, verse 6. "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." We don't have anything to offer unto the Lord. You cannot earn heaven. You cannot earn God's favor. You cannot earn the kingdom. All we earn through our behavior is to go to hell. Hence the need for imputation. As we know, the Bible says, Romans 3:10, "There is an unrighteous, no, not one." So the Bible makes it very clear that every man, woman, boy, and girl is unrighteous, that we are sinners, and that we have no righteousness of our own. Hence, we need righteousness to be worthy to enter God's righteous and sinless heaven, but we can't gain it or earn it or buy it ourselves. So what can we do? It has to be given to us, and that is imputation. God imputes to us righteousness. So go to Romans 3, and we'll start looking at some scriptures together. Romans chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." So God says that his righteousness is by faith, and it's given to those who believe. So when we believe on Jesus Christ, when we're born again, regenerated, God gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, this doctrine is most taught, more than any other chapter in the Bible, in Romans chapter 4. So if you want to turn there, we're going to walk through this chapter, look at some verses together. But this would be the chapter on imputation. So we'll start there in verse 1. "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." So as we walk through the passage, I want to point out the words believe, the words faith, and then the words that imply imputation. Here the Bible says it was counted unto him. That is imputation. When he believed the Lord, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So again, we see faith and imputation. Verse 6, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without work." So even David had a foreshadow of imputation, that God would impute righteousness unto man. Verse 7, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." That we talked about under atonement. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness." So again, we see faith and righteousness. Verse 10, "How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." So, of course, Abraham was saved by faith, and even back then a foreshadow was given that righteousness would be imputed to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." What you're going to see in this whole chapter is the words faith and believe, and then impute or counted unto. And then on down in verse 21 of Romans chapter 4, the Bible says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform," verse 22, "and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." So there God imputed to Abraham righteousness. "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe." So notice God says that his righteousness shall be imputed unto us if we believe. So we must trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we do, God imputes his righteousness to us. What a blessed doctrine. Go to 1 Corinthians 1:30, and I will look at some other scriptures on this beautiful truth of the imputed righteousness of God, and we'll understand where this righteousness comes from. It comes from Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So Jesus is made unto us righteousness. Then the very familiar passage, 2 Corinthians 5:21, if you want to turn there. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we looked at this verse when we talked about substitution. But notice 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. So when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our account. How beautiful. Go to Philippians 3:9. Paul here talking about his own service for the Lord, but making it clear to those he was writing to that our righteousness does not come from our own behavior. Philippians 3:9, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness," which is of the law, But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith. So notice the word faith and righteousness. When we trust Christ, God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 now, and we'll see it again. Hebrews chapter 11, we're talking this morning about the beautiful doctrine of imputation, how God imputes the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ to our account when we trust Him as our Savior. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of all things, or of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his soul, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The righteousness which is by faith. There's only one way to receive the righteousness that's required to enter heaven, and it's by faith. We can't earn it, we can't pay for it, and we don't have it within ourselves to perform it. It must be given to us or imputed to us when we trust Christ, when we exercise faith. Go to James chapter 2, if you would, and verses 23 and 24. The Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how a man is, by works a man is justified, not by faith only. So the Bible says, when he believed God, it was imputed unto him. His faith then allowed God to impute the righteousness to him. And we are now those who carry on that great truth. So go to Revelation 19, where the Bible talks about us in heaven. And it mentions a robe. Notice at Revelation 19, verse 7, the Bible says here, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. This is the church, the bride of Christ. Verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The righteousness of saints. This is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, represented by a robe which we'll be wearing in heaven. That is what made us worthy of heaven, is that the righteousness of Jesus Christ was given to our account the day we trusted Christ. It always comes down to belief and faith. When we exercise our faith in Jesus Christ, God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and gives it to us, or imputes it to our account. And that is the beautiful doctrine of imputation. So it comes down to righteousness. And if you go to Romans chapter 10, God explains how the Jews and the world today won't get past this one point, which is why most people who go to church, who practice some sort of religion, are involved in some sort of a system where they're trying to earn the favor of God. They're trying to earn heaven. They're trying to earn something. We can't. And as Paul explains, this is a key verse. It's one or the other. It's ours or God's. You can't mix them. Notice Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That word righteousness shows up a lot of times in there. But notice, those who are ignorant the fact that our Creator is righteous, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness through their own works, through their own behavior, they have not yet submitted themselves unto God's righteousness. When we get saved, we submit ourselves to the fact that God is right and we are wrong. We are submitting ourselves to the truth that His gospel is true, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that only His righteousness will do. So it must be imputed to our account for us to be worthy of heaven. And that happens the day we trust Jesus Christ. Now, interestingly enough, if you go to Psalm 40, God wants us to be declaring to the world that He is righteous. Isn't that something? You go to Psalm 40 and verses 9 and 10. So one of the things we need to be telling people, and we should when we're sharing the gospel, is that our Creator is righteous, and that we aren't. Notice Psalm 40, verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Verse 10. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. We're not supposed to keep it a secret. We're supposed to tell it. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. We're not to hide God's righteousness within our heart. Yes, the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us. Hallelujah. But now we need to tell the world about the righteousness of Jesus Christ so they also can trust him and have God's righteousness imputed to them. Let's look at another one, Psalm 71, verse 15. And I just want us to understand this morning that God wants us to declare his righteousness to the world. You know, when we practice what's called lifestyle evangelism, and we try to say to the world, look at me, I'm good because I live a good life, whose righteousness are we declaring it then but our own? Well, we don't have any. So we need to tell people why we're living a clean life, because our God is righteous and we love him and we are trying to live a righteous life for him. We need to tell them. We need to declare it. Psalm 71, verse 15. The Bible says, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Are we to be mentioning our righteousness? No. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're to make mention of his righteousness, that he is righteous. And that the day we trusted Jesus Christ, he took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and gave it to us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. He gave it to us as a gift. All we had to do was trust Christ, repent and trust Christ. Hallelujah. So this is the beautiful truth of imputation, what God does for us at salvation when he takes the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ and gives it to us when we trust him as our Savior. In the coming weeks, the doctrines we're going to be looking at, next week we'll be looking at the doctrine of justification. Then the week after that, we'll be looking at the doctrine of preservation, how God preserves us. Then the doctrine of sanctification, and then finishing with the doctrine of glorification. What happens when we leave this earth and our salvation is completed and we're in our glorified body and in heaven. So that's what we have left. Thank you for joining us for this ninth in our series on the doctrines of salvation, this beautiful truth and doctrine of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of imputation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of studying these doctrines. Thank you for this beautiful doctrine of imputation. I pray you'll use this lesson to bless our hearts and make us thankful for what we have in Christ. But also, Lord, as David said, we would declare thy righteousness to the world. We would tell others who you are, that you're righteous, and that we must be righteous to be allowed to enter your presence. And that can only happen through salvation. Thank you, my Lord, and have your will and way in every heart that's been in this lesson today. In Jesus' name, amen.